Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Thanks for stopping in today, guys. Warriors bounce back after a very tough loss where I almost lost my marbles against the Knicks on Monday, but bounce back, get a good win against the Grizzlies at home, 137-116. Use a 27-3 run wrapped around halftime to really separate in this game and put this one to bed. Jonathan Kuminga, 26 points. Clay had 23, Wiggins 22, and Chris Paul, the point god, 12 and 14 assists. Really channeled the old point god days. Draymond Green also had a double-double in rebounds. Steph Curry able to just relax, chill in this one. Didn't really have to do too much. Low usage, a good, just easy game for Steph, which I am sure everybody is fine with. So I want to address my little outburst last episode. I said the cardinal sin words, which is that I don't believe that the Warriors are going to win a championship this year. I try hard not to say it ever. I was caught up in the moment. I was trying to go viral, guys. I mean, this is my third episode on video. I was just trying to get some clicks, all that clickbait, trying to make big outlandish statements. The Warriors can win a championship. My point is that this team, the energy, the effort, the focus, is just proven to be too inconsistent, especially at home, especially in big games where the effort shouldn't really be in question at all. It's been too inconsistent. And with that inconsistency, it's not realistic to think that we can win multiple seven-game series. You have to win 4 7-game series, obviously against the best teams in the NBA. It just doesn't feel like the team's effort, energy, hustle, grit at this point is just enough to get us there. And that's what I was making my peace with. But, you know, is the effort, is it something that can be fixed? Is it mental? Is it a lack of focus? Or is it a fatigue issue and the legs are just getting tired? I tend to think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit more of the latter with fatigue. And that's why when I was saying the Warriors are gassed, that's sort of what I meant. But hopefully they can prove me wrong and have better nights, sort of like last night, which wasn't great, but we'll take it and we took care of business. Well, happy March Madness Day. I in the other room, have my little 3 TV set up, got all the games going. I'm taking a nice little break just to be here with you. Yesterday, in anticipation for March Madness, I just threw in a little highlights of Steph Curry at Davidson, tournament highlights, a little Draymond Green, Michigan State. I'll give you a little quick rundown in case you forgot Steph's sophomore year when Davidson, I believe, was the 10 seed. 40 points in the first round for Steph. I think he's 8 of 10 from 3 and just goes absolutely crazy. Announces his presence to the college basketball and thus the basketball world. Next round, they put a 2 seed, Georgetown, and he goes off for 30 points, including 25 in the second half. Against the 3rd seed, Wisconsin, with LeBron in attendance, Steph drops 33 points, including a crazy, just kind of acrobatic and one where they pan to a young LeBron James who's just going nuts in the crowd. Little did he know that this, I'll use his words, light-skinned mother effer would change the game and really just be that dagger in LeBron's quest for true greatness in the NBA and maybe cost him another couple championships. After that, Steph dropped 25 against number 1 seed Kansas, where they come up just short at the end. Passes it to a potential assist for a 3 to advance to the Final 4, but they miss it. Anyways, happy March Madness. Enjoy the games today. Getting back to the Warriors, we're not going to talk too much about this game. This game is pretty self-explanatory. What I do, you see my cat here. This is Cheetah. You can kind of see it in the virtual background. What I want to talk about is just a quick state of the Warriors. And ironically, before we decided on Stacking Dubs, this podcast was called Golden State of the Warriors. So we're going to do a little Golden State of the Warriors. 14 games left. We sit in 10th place, half game back of the Lakers for 9th. I believe 2.5 back. I could be wrong on that. Of the Mavericks and the Suns for 7th and 8th. We still play the Mavericks twice. We still play the Lakers once. We can make up ground, but there's only 14 games left. Realistically, we're not getting out of the play. Getting into the playoff spot. So we're going to be in that play. Recently, it seems that Steve Kerr has been narrowing the rotation. We've really only been playing about an 8-man, I'll call it an 8.5-man rotation. Gary Payton the second is basically playing about 10 to 15 minutes, matchup based guy. I think if we're gonna be end up playing against, a team like Kings with a De'Aaron Fox or just a really good guard, you'll see Gary Payton the second play a little bit more minutes and use as that point of attack defender. But he's also still coming back from a couple injuries, so he's the half man. Other than that, the rotation: Steph, Klay, Chris Paul, Dre, TJD is now in that, Kuminga, Wiggins, and Pajemski. Those are the eight. I'm fine with it. I still am a fan of getting Moody some minutes once he's healthy. He's nursing a sore knee. Maybe he'll split some of those minutes with Wiggins, with GP2, kind of depending on how things are going. But we shorten the rotation. We're ready for the playoffs. As far as we're going to look at two different, we're going to split this into two different views, right? So the first will be areas of opportunity. So this is where the Warriors have been good. It's been where they've been good lately, and just areas where the Warriors can continue to get better and what would make the difference to getting this team to the next level. And then the second area is areas of concern. Okay, self-explanatory. So we will start with the good news. Areas of opportunity. First, with Chris Paul's return from his hand injury, he's been a much better shooter, better scorer, which you would think that he'd be out of rhythm having missed so much time, but he's been shooting the ball better. For the season, he's been shooting about 44% compared from the field, compared to about a 47% career mark. In his last 10 games, basically since he's returned, he's shooting 49%, including a couple ticks higher from three. He's scoring, I believe, closer to 11 points per game, whereas earlier in the season, he's only averaging about nine. So he's understood the need to be more aggressive, and he's also finding that mid-range. They're starting to fall. I swear, every time he shoots it, it feels like that little elbow jumper should go in. It doesn't go in as much as it felt like when it used to be against the Warriors, but maybe that'll improve and he'll really settle in as he gets his fuel back heading into the playoffs. So if CP3 can give me just, maybe two, three more points on more efficient scoring, that's a couple points in the margins that help. Klay Thompson, sixth man. Man, this has been the net, arguably the biggest revelation for the Warriors. Since Klay has moved to the bench, it's been, I believe this was his 12th game off the bench. He's averaging 20 points per game on 45.5% from 3-point range. He's absolutely crushing it, really playing well, really stringing some good scoring, shooting games together, really aggressive. And it's more than just shooting. He is attacking off the dribble, off that catch. If it's not there right away, he's not afraid to put the ball on the court, create for others. Even if he's not getting to the hoop all the way, we've seen him getting fouled a little bit more often, and we've seen him playmaking, namely for who we'll talk about next, Trayce Jackson-Davis. They really have a great combination, the two of them, and that's the next area of opportunity. It's just this two-man pick and roll game between Klay and Trayce, and then we can start to add a little wrinkle of Chris Paul in there. That second unit of those three has really been clicking, almost like a little triangle action you saw a couple times last night. TJD, him and Klay really just off the bench playing together. It really seems to work. The obviously Klay coming off and shooting, or Trace rolling, but they just have great chemistry. The spacing seems about right. We've seen now that Klay can be a ball handler in a pick and roll situation, which usually Klay as a ball handler isn't a great thing. But in these situations with a big who's a lob threat and a finishing threat like TJD is, Klay is fine as a distributor and also as a pull-up scorer. TJD, unbelievably strong recently. In the last 10 games, we've upped his minutes to averaging 22 minutes per game. In those games, 11.6 points on 81% field goal percentage. That is incredible. A lot of it is dunks, a lot of it's layups. Other than Jonathan Kuminga's, how strong he finishes, and other than how creative and crafty Steph Curry is as a finisher, TJD is our best finisher at the rim on this team. Very consistent, can finish with force, and is also has good touch, can finish with his left, can finish with his right, can get to the line where he's a decent free throw shooter. Could get better, but for a big, we'll take it. Really impressed with TJD lately. Also averaging 6.5 rebounds in the last 10 games and 1.7 blocks, which has been a revelation. We need rim protection. He's been consistently giving it to us with a 6'9" wingspan, just contesting. We already saw him. He swatted Giannis three times. He swatted who was in the next game? Blah 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 blah. Anyway, some huge another elite big. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on it now, but he has been very, very strong on the defensive end of the court. Moving on, Wiggins. Obviously, Wiggins has an area of opportunity to get back to being two-way Wiggs, which a couple years ago, elite defensive player, one of the best wing defenders in the league, efficient scorer. I don't know if we're going to see him getting back up to 17-ish points per game, but he's been settling in around 13, 14 points per game. But more realistically, it's the efficiency numbers that I really like. Wiggins, since the All-Star break, 49% from the field, will take that all day long. 43% from three, that's Steph Curry numbers right there. And 81% from the line, which is definitely better than what Wiggins usually shoots, around 69, 70% from the line. So his efficiencies are going up. Notice a key trend. I keep saying efficiency, right? The volume, there's only so many shots to go around. So it's not about being a high volume, low efficiency guy like a James Harden back in the day, shooting, 25 shots a game on 42%. Jordan Poole, no offense, kind of the same thing. High volume, low percentages. You're only going to get 120-ish possessions per game if Chris Paul can raise his efficiency. Klay's efficiency has been up. TJD, 80% field goal percentage. Wiggins, efficiencies are up. Last person, Jonathan Kuminga, last 10 games. He's averaging 21 points per game, 53, 43, and 87% from field goal, three, and free throw line. Very, very high percentage numbers. It's why our offense is good when we're able to get people to their spots and when we're able to have playmakers creating space. All right, that's the key to all this. We're going to talk about that in our areas of concern. But these are our areas of opportunity. So to recap, CP3's shooting, scoring efficiency has been going up. Klay is the sixth man. He's been much better. He's, as Kerr said, he's at peace with a sixth man role. Kerr shared a little story the other day about how Klay really started yelling at the coaches when they first told him he was going to be coming off the bench. Seems to have settled in. That mental acceptance of his role has really been game changing for his play. A lot less pressure, a lot less forcing, much better, more efficient player. We talked about him and Trace's chemistry. Trace playing out of his mind, keep it going, keep playing in the mid-20s and minutes. That is something that is going to stay. It seems like he's been very strong, and that has been the best weapon we've added in the last month. And then Wiggins' efficiency shooting. And then lastly, Jonathan Kuminga taking that next step. The sky is the limit for Kuminga. The efficiencies, the scoring is going well. Can he take that step in every part of his game? I'm talking about rebounding, talking about playmaking, even better efficiency scoring, continuing to get to the line, and then on the defensive side of the ball. Side note, Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga, as of 2 games ago, the number one combo of two players on the court at the same time in defensive efficiency in the entire NBA. Minimum 500 minutes, I believe it was. So, yes, they haven't played the entire season together, but basically, since Draymond has returned and Kuminga's been on the court, that unit has been essentially the top unit, and those two specifically, the top duo defensively in the NBA. Okay, all that being said, we're feeling good, right? Lots of optimism. This podcast is much better place. I'm a little more chipper than last time. We're feeling good. Let's go to areas of concern and let's just wipe all that out. So, number one, two different parts of areas of concern. We're going to talk about availability and fatigue first, right? So, first area of concern, Draymond Green's lower back. Missed a game against the Mavericks. Been talking about the last few weeks. It's been a struggle for him to get up for games. He's doing it. He's getting worked on at halftime. It's been tough in the second half. The back's been stiffening up on him. The day after games, he's barely able to practice. Hopefully that week of rest did him some good, but it sounds like he's still continuing to nurse it. And when he's playing all these minutes at center, which has been successful for the Warriors, but it wears on you. Can he sustain it? That is a huge concern. Having TJD now able to eat some minutes is going to very much alleviate a lot of that and gives us a second option at center. But again, we are not the same team without Draymond. Side note, I'm just going to digress. So Draymond got in a little scuffle last night, and It wasn't really too much. It was just kind of a little grabbing and a little extracurricular. Nothing huge, nothing to say he's regressed, but it was a technical foul and it was a skirmish. People get off the bench. I say that to my thought process is, hey, is this the level, the line that we are okay with Draymond being at? I don't like giving up the point on a technical free throw, but I like the energy that it can infuse, especially at home to our team. Draymond gets fired up, gets a little more focused. Through that, the energy increases in the team. Right after Draymond's little scuffle, that's when the Warriors went on that 27-3 run. So I'm not going to just say it was due to that skirmish, but you can just see the energy, the intensity rises just a little bit. So that's something to keep an eye on. And really, since Draymond Green returned from suspension, that's when the Warriors started turning a corner. This team is going to go as Draymond Green's energy, effort, and leadership goes, in addition to Steph Curry. All right, next area of concern. This one's kind of weird. So Wiggins' availability. You guys already know the deal. A lot of personal issues, missed a lot of time last year, already missed a few games this year. I saw a tweet that Andrew Wiggins' brother was ending his season to attend to a serious personal issue with the family. I'm not 100% sure that that's been confirmed, but if that's a thing, I worry that Andrew Wiggins will be soon to follow. Keep an eye on that. Obviously, we're wishing the best for their family. And Wiggins, you're going to have to do what you got to do to take care of your family. But that is obviously an area of concern that could strike back at any point, unfortunately. Last little availability and just more so fatigue area of concern is Pajemski hitting that rookie wall. He plays so hard. He's undersized. He is always hustling. He's led the Warriors in minutes. Dozens of games this year. He's been playing tons of minutes because he's a connector and does the little things well. I worry that it's starting to wear on him a bit. He had a kind of knee swelling a month ago. He seems to be a little less bursty. He's not finishing well. He's not shooting great. It seems like he's taken a step back. We know that what he can be, and we're excited for his future. Right now, I'm a little worried that he's hit that rookie wall. He's playing a much longer season, more games than he's ever played. The accumulation of the minutes on the season adds up, even though he's still young. Can he continue to play with that much effort, force, and hustle, which is what he does best, despite a little tired legs, tired body? We're going to see because he's important. He is a starter. He connects that starting lineup that we are going to roll with. We're going to be rolling with that Steph Curry, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, and Pajemski starting lineup when all are healthy. Can he be effective there? Okay. Areas of concern in terms of X's and O's, strategy, in terms of just gameplay. The number one thing, having a secondary playmaker, a secondary scorer in the clutch. That, excuse me, Cheetah. You can be our secondary playmaker, Cheetah. That's the thing that's been really our kryptonite, especially in the clutch. When you need a possession, everyone's going to double team and trap Steph Curry. Can we get that secondary playmaking? Can we get that secondary score? Right now, secondary playmaker is Chris Paul if he's on the floor, right? But defensively, we don't like when him and Curry are on the floor together. So it's really an offensive defensive situation. So if CP3's on the floor, great. He can be a secondary outlet, release valve. But when he's not on the floor due to defensive purposes, now you don't have that secondary playmaker that can, I mean, it's Pajemski maybe, that can get into the paint, create for others, and just find easy buckets. By that same measure, our second scorer, it's Jonathan Kuminga at this point. If Klay has it going, I mean, he can be that, but he doesn't really create for himself. He's just going to catch and shoot if we're just going to be honest with ourselves here. So we don't have really that playmaker, scorer, or combination of both. And that's not going to be available until the offseason if we trade for an all-star caliber player. So that is just going to be, it is what it is, and we're going to have to find ways to win in the clutch. Next issue is the Warriors all season long, they can't finish at the rim. That is the problem. Other than the three we mentioned earlier, Kuminga, Curry, TJD, the rest of the team is not good finishing. They're not vertical players. They're not crafty attacking the hoop. They don't have a good handle, dribbling ability to create dribble drives. And when they get there, they just don't finish. It's not, people don't have a good touch. Wiggins, really bad touch at the hoop, bad handle getting to the hoop. Klay Thompson, a little vertically challenged, doesn't finish well with the left, not crafty. Sure, he's attacking more, but we all know Klay is not at his best attacking the hoop. Pajemski, we've seen him blow a couple layups, including one last night, one against the Bulls that could have tied the game. He needs to work on it, finishing with his offhand. He needs to find clever ways to score it as an undersized finisher. And we have guys that can dunk, you know, like GP2 can dunk, but he's not the best finisher in terms of craftiness. I can go on through the list, but the inability to finish, especially against teams with good bigs. We saw really struggled against the Mavericks with Gafford. We've struggled for ages against Anthony Davis, unless Steph Curry's just pulling him away and going 1-on-1 with him. These big shot blockers are basically turning the Warriors into a jump shooting team, which they're happy to settle into. And then either we're on or we're off, and there's the game right there. So we need to attack more. We need to find ways to get to the free throw line. We just need to be aggressive, and we need to find ways, alternate ways to score inside. All right, here's the big one. Obviously, the defensive effort has just been so freaking inconsistent. We thought for a while with Draymond Green back for that late January, February push where we were one of the best teams in the NBA. The defense was great, especially on the road. Are we getting tired, right? Is that sustainable for the stretch run? We've seen the defense really starting to take a step back recently. I attribute a huge part of that to Draymond Green just kind of being dinged up. Little lower energy lately. His back bugging him. The defense has not been as strong. It needs to find ways to be effective and intense when Draymond Green is not in the game and when he is. So this is what's going to be the case for the Warriors. It's the veterans being tired, and you see it more on the defensive end before the offensive, right? It's Steph just, and I don't fault Steph. He's got to do what he has to do to carry the offensive load, but you see him just falling asleep, getting back cut. You see him just, teams are attacking him over and over. And, you know, he's doing his best to stay in front, but he just gets blown by. Klay, same thing, gets blown by. He's not laterally quick anymore, although he's done fine defending lower. It's just, even Draymond's, I won't say he's lost a step, but he's lost at least a half step defensively. He doesn't contest above the rim anymore. So the vets are going to get tired. We got to find ways defensively to inject a little life in there. It needs to be Wiggins. It needs to be Kuminga, who are still young enough, athletic enough to really step up and impose our will on defense. Lastly, so we see this against the best teams when we play, just even in the regular season, but in the playoffs, here's what happens. It's very much a half-court game. I'm talking about the defensive side of the ball. Teams are going to attack our worst defender with their best offensive player, right? That you see it. This is what happens. They say, call it, let's look at the Lakers, right? So LeBron's on ball. Whoever Steph is guarding, whoever Pajemski, because he's undersized, is guarding, they're going to come set a screen, get the switch, and LeBron is now going one-on-one against Steph. He's going one-on-one against an undersized Pajemski. He's going Chris Paul, same thing if he's in there. That alone is just the mismatch. And then from there, he's by them. Our defense collapses, and he's either fouled or kicking to a wide open 3-point shooter. In the playoffs, this is going to happen every single possession, right? They're going to attack Steph 70% of the possessions on offense. They're going to attack CP3. They're going to attack Klay with fast ball handlers. They're going to just really wear on the Warriors in terms of size and just not being super fleet of foot. That's the biggest problem here. How do we stop a team like the Celtics, who did that over and over with Tatum, with Jaylen Brown, just attacking our undersized guards? We have switchable bigs. That's the best thing, is that we have versatile bigs like a Draymond Green. So we're never having a slow-footed center on a point guard, which is the one nice part about our defense, but it's how do our guards get better about point of attack defense? So those are my biggest areas of concern. A lot of those, I don't know if we're going to be able to address that given our current roster construction, but those are just the little things I would focus on trying to improve and finding little counters to exploit that back, if you know that that's what other teams are attempting to do against us. Well, that is my golden state of the Warriors as is, with less than 15 games remaining. Gonna have to go on a little bit of a run. If I had to guess where we're going to be, I think we're going to be either ninth or 10th, and we're playing the Lakers either at home or here in LA. Honestly, it doesn't really matter. The Warriors have been better on the road. I know they played poorly in LA, but they did just go to come here to LA and beat the Lakers. But the problem is they have to win two straight games, and the second game will be on the road too. So let's try to get a little bit of a stack of some dubs, get hopefully into that eight seed. We got to beat the Mavericks both times we play them, and let's chase them down and get ourselves to just needing one win in the play-in. All right, guys, that's all I got for today. Got to get back to a little college basketball. Next Warriors game, a big one. Indiana Pacers come to Chase Center tomorrow night. Really, I'm looking to see what kind of effort the Warriors bring, the defensive energy, and just see if we can continue moving with these areas of opportunity that have been going well and minimize these areas of concern. Oh, last point. I just want to make this point is that the Warriors have been very good about taking care of the ball recently. I think I just jinxed us, knock on some wood, but they've done a good job not turning the ball over, and those are why they've been able to be in games despite some pretty lackluster defensive efforts. Okay, guys, have a good one. I'll talk to you later this weekend. Hope all your brackets don't get busted by the next time I see ya. Until next time, I've been your host, Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.